to tell you how I am being intentional, and not just for today, but I'm trying to make it a life switch. I have a young son who is going to be a teenager, and I've seen changes in him, and I know sometimes you just have to sit down and just say, okay, this is because he's becoming a teenager, and that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, welcome to the world of parenting teens today here at Intentional Living. If you're ever going to be intentional, this is the decade to do it as a parent. And we'll hear the rest of Sarah's story in just a moment. Dr. Randy here at the Intentional Living Center, along with our fantastic team. Gino's over there on Facebook looking bright and awake. And, of course, Jennifer running all the show. And Mr. Steven, our senior producer there as well. And the phone lines are open to parents of teens, those of you who've raised teens. And I'll tell you what, maybe you have just a comment. Say, hey, here's one thing if you're parenting a teen that you learned that'll be applicable, helpful, and encouraging to someone today. Or if you have a question for me, you're welcome to call as well, 888-888-1717. Keeping the expressway of our phone lines open to parents of teens, those who've been parents of teens, got a question or comment, call 888-888-1717 is the number. My wife and I had privilege of raising three teenagers. They're all adults now, and we've got grandchildren coming into the teen years, in fact. And I said to everybody here, boy, I'm glad we got through that. We know we did okay. We had great kids, but they were all different. I was mentioning our daughter, Andrea. She was, you know, she's always been independent. By 14, she was pretty independent and grew up to become a teacher, working with special needs kids. That's her. She's got a heart for kids. And now in Africa with her husband and our grandkids, three of our grandkids. And each of our kids, our two boys, Evan and Derek, both, they're different. They have their own strengths. God's blessed them in their own ways. Going through the teen years, one of the things I see as I look back, you can see some of those patterns developing in the teen years that, of course, become who they are as adults. So if you want to join in the discussion, you've been a parent of a teen, are a parent of a teen, one thing that has helped. We live in a crazy time, parents, and I'll tell you what, I do a lesson on the decades of life, and this decade of sort of preteen up through the teen years is a decade of identity, and that's a big word today. We have these young people who are playing with this whole thing of who am I, and what's my identity, and where do I fit in, and all of these things that we hear, and we need to get our kids back to God's word, into an understanding of God's intention for their life, speaking into their life and helping each of us. Here's what I believe. When our identity is in Christ, boy, it makes the rest of life a whole lot easier, right? All right, come and join in, 888-888-1717. Got a question on teenage years or one thing that you reflect on that was helpful for you? What was it? Give us a call. Let's hear the rest of Sarah's story. As she's a parent of a teen, take a listen.
I want to tell you how I am being intentional, and not just for today, but I'm trying to make it a life switch. I have a young son who is going to be a teenager, and I've seen changes in him, and I know sometimes you just have to sit down and just say, okay, this is because he's becoming a teenager, and that's what I'm doing. I'm being intentional because I'm listening more, and I am answering the questions on his level, and I am trying to be a better parent every single day. I take that time to tell him how much I love him every day, and I tell him that I'm proud of him every day. It has filled my heart with such wonderful blessings.
That's good. Thank you, Sarah. Hey, listen, every day's a new day if you're parenting teenagers. Lots of busyness. You know, we see our grandchildren growing up in this period of time, and they're busy, you know, volleyball and baseball and all the different activities at school. And we remind parents, listen, make sure in all the busyness of life, you really are investing time into the life of your kids. That time passes so quickly. You know, we get a lot of calls that come in and are left on our comment line, questions for me that we try to get to help. This was one that came in from a listener, a guy that's, well, frankly, struggling to know what to do. Take a listen to the question. By the way, you're welcome to ask a question or make a comment, 888-888-1717, but take a listen.
Hello, this is Jack. We're listening to the radio show about parenting teens. I had a question. I have a teenage son who uses THC, wax, marijuana, and we've had many talks about that, but still seems to dabble in it once in a while. And I just wanted to come to an end. One of my intentions was to give him a drug test. If he fails it, then I would still let him drive, but I would have him go into a program where, you know, he can get some help, maybe some talk. Or the other option is you fail your test, you don't drive, and I'm on the barrier on that. What would work the best? Thank you.
Well, Jack, if you're on the tipping point, let me tip you over on the side of saying no kid using a substance is driving my car. For a whole lot of reasons, hurting other people, number one, hurting him or herself, not to mention breaking the law, not to mention your insurance company, insurance rates. I mean, let's get really down to practical stuff that goes on and saying to your son or daughter, I love you a whole lot, but listen, you ain't getting in my car, getting keys to my car, my insurance, when you choose to either break the law or to use a substance that could cause you to be impaired when you're driving. And by the way, that's all forms of substances, alcohol, drugs, you name it, including maybe having other kids in the car that are creating problems, playing the music too loud, lots of distractions that can occur. And early on, as your kids are starting to learn to drive, I think it's a wise parent that says, you know, maybe for the whole first year, you're not taking any other teens in the car with you, just you, until you learn to control the car, learn to control yourself. But no substances are near my car, period. So if that helps you tip over on that side, Jack, good, because I believe that a lot. Maybe some of you can relate to that. One thing that's helped you as a parent, maybe you face some tough things and you've had to make some tough decisions, or you want to give an encouragement to another parent or a question for me, love to hear from you. 888-888-1717, Intentional Living today.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Here's one thing you can do to grow closer to God. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. In my new book, Freedom from Hijacked Emotions, I encourage people to meditate on Scripture. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, revealing the intentions and the thoughts of the heart. It's powerful, isn't it? As you get into God's Word, you realize it speaks directly to your spirit. Can I encourage you to get a good concordance, which is simply a resource to help you locate passages in Scripture based on phrases and words? Find a word that encourages your heart, and then go to that passage and meditate on it quietly and carefully to see what God is speaking to your heart about today. When you do, that's intentional living.
Find out more about Freedom from Hijacked Emotions at theintentionallife.com/book.
I'm 27 years old, and I married a man who has two kids, and one of them now is a 13-year-old boy. We struggled with him at first. He's very introverted and lives through his phone and video games, and I had a really hard time, especially being a stepmom to him. And what we've done is we put expectations there for him. That helped me to step back and to ask him to do more, as well as we have a small family farm. And we've really pushed him in an encouraging way that he's capable, and reminding him that he's capable and we need his help around the house, whether it's unloading the dishwasher or helping us bale hay. And my husband has had to focus more on him. They started off kind of rough at the beginning of his life, but us being united and wanting the same thing for him. And I do have to say, throughout all of this, in the last just couple years, I have seen this kid change dramatically with the way that he talks to us. When I give him a list of things he needs to do, he seems so much more ambitious to just go out and get them done rather than dragging his feet and complaining about it. And it's matured him and bettered our relationship, actually, with him.
And good for you. Hey, listen, Lydia, putting kids to work and communicating and listening. Wow, very positive stuff. We're talking about parenting teens. I think it's different somewhat today than it was years ago because of all of the impact of social media, the impact and the influences that perhaps your parents didn't have raising you, right? Some of the differences are significant today in which the world in which we live. And I believe now more than ever, parents, because I've seen it in working with parents here and around the country, those parents who choose to be intentionally involved in the life of their children, setting boundaries, holding those boundaries, holding the kids accountable, learning to listen, mom and dad getting on the same page. If you're divorced, still getting on the same page and parenting those kids as best you can together and being on the same page, if that's possible, really makes a difference. Does that mean that your kids aren't going to go off in a wrong direction? No. But I'll tell you what, I have seen a lot of kids who during these teen years will experiment and do things and you think you're losing your kids. But parents, if you hang on, keep doing the next right one thing, stay connected with your kids, be an intentional parent. I come back to that verse that says, train up those kids in the way they should go when they get older, you know, maybe much older before they come back to it, but they don't forget. And when I hear parents that say, well, my kids don't want to go to church, so I don't take them to church, or my kids want to do this, so I let them do that because I don't want them to be upset with me. I can tell you the number of parents that I've talked to over the years that let the kids run the homes. Shame on you if you're doing that, because that's wrong. These kids need to know that you love them. And love is sometimes setting those boundaries, those guardrails for your kids. They need that. They want that today. And then with the influences that they have, you know, knowing what they're plugged into for sure. All right. If you got a question for me, you got a comment, something you've learned, you want to share as a parent, a grandparent for the teens, parenting those who are parenting teens, give me a call, 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Here's another question coming into the center.
I have a daughter who's about to turn 18, and I was wondering, what are you supposed to make your 18-year-old pay for? She pays for her own car. You make her pay for the gas, buy a portion of the food, buy her own clothes.
Yeah, with inflation, just paying for the gas will keep her busy. I'll tell you what, every family's going to be different. Every home's different. But I think when you got an 18-year-old, it depends what they're doing. If they're really trying to better themselves or getting into college or taking trade school, they're working on things, you want to encourage them, you work with them. Let them be a part of the family. If they can't pay something, let them be a part of helping clean the house, take care of things, be a vital part of the family. What you don't want is your kids sitting home and say, I'm waiting for that perfect job that's going to come up. You know what I'm saying? I'm waiting for that $18 an hour making hamburgers down at the corner. We need to make sure our kids are involved in life and see an opportunity to be responsible. So every family is going to be a little bit different, Dana, for sure. But I've never heard someone grow up and say, what I really hated about being a child is my parents held me accountable to participate. Most of them say, I'm glad my parents made me be a part of it, to work, to participate, to be a part of the family. It makes a huge difference. All right. Hope that helps, Dana. Appreciate it. Here's a comment that's come in from Kathleen with a 15-year-old. Take a listen.
Well, I have a 15-year-old granddaughter, and she just turned 15, and she's a new Christian, and she has this boyfriend that is just a bad kid, and he's always wanting her to buy stuff for him, expensive things, and then also he calls her horrible names, and she is allowing that. She thinks she loves this guy, and he's 15 also, and it's so many people have told her, you know, this is not good. This, we know this boy's history, and you know, he's not someone you should be associating with, and she doesn't see that. And she apparently has very low self-esteem because she wrote him a text and told him how she didn't deserve him, that, you know, he was so wonderful. And so I just feel like there's got to be self-esteem issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure does. Kathleen, listen, as a grandma, you have it right on the nail on the head there, that your granddaughter is going down the wrong path, and it may not be with this boy. And this boy may be gone, but it might be the next boy or the boy after that. She needs to change. We all need to be speaking into her life, her value, her importance, that she's special, her identity. We talked about that a little bit ago. And when I see young girls growing up today and flaunting themselves before guys, listen, if you're a young lady listening to me, the guys love it. And they'll take it. Many of them will take advantage of it. Quality guys won't. Quality guys won't. Look for the quality guys in your life. Okay? They're out there. And that's true the other way around. What I mean by quality, all people are created equal. All people are loved by God. But not all people have the same character. Not all people make the best decisions. Not all people are really worth your investment for a dating relationship or into marriage. Pick carefully, because how you choose to date, the people you choose to be a part of, you become like the people you hang around with. And so, Kathleen, we hear your comment really, really veiled in a question of what do I do? And I don't know where mom and dad are in all of this, but boy, this young lady needs to get some encouragement of her value and doesn't need that kind of a young man in her life. Okay? All right, let me go to the phone here. We got Joshua in New Mexico. Hi, Joshua. How you doing?
Great. Doing good, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. Go right ahead. What's your story?
Good. Yeah, just a comment. You know, I'm 35 years old now. I have a wife and three children. But, you know, growing up, I grew up in a Christian home. And, you know, during my teen years, you know, when I didn't necessarily want to go to church or I was too tired to go to church, my parents, of course, made me go to church. And even though I didn't necessarily want to be there or didn't think I was paying attention or listening to the teachings or to the messages, just hearing the word, mm-hmm. being preached and being taught, penetrated my heart. And I honestly believe that that strengthened me and helped me grow in my Christian walk. You know, not that I was so rebellious in high school or in my teen years, but you know, as teenagers, you just don't want to go to church, or you know, you're just too tired, or you're too cool to go to church. But my parents forcing me, not necessarily giving me the option, saying you're going to church, and even though, again, I didn't think I was listening or paying attention, just having that. You know, subconsciously, I guess, you know, the word of God and the messages definitely penetrated and made a huge impact in my life.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a whole balancing thing today. We know with kids, they get to these teen years, they're not interested in going to church. And let's face it, you know, let's just be real honest. As Christian brothers and sisters, some churches are plain boring. And the programs are boring and not interesting, especially to kids today with all the hyper excitement and exposure to media that they get. And not that the church needs to be competing with that, but they are for the attention of young people. And so a reminder that our churches need to be vital and alive and making sure our programs are interesting and attractive to kids, but teaching the word and being clear, because ultimately that's what they need to hear, okay? Not just itching ears, but we want to make sure it's a place where the kids feel warm, connected, loved, and accepted. And parents, it's a battle, I know. You're thinking, well, I don't want to force my kids. At the same time, this is something we do as a family. I think it's an appropriate message to say to your kid, you know, we don't ask a lot from you. You're 17 years old. We don't ask a lot from you. Help out around the home, make your bed, do a few things. We feed you. We love you. We care for you. We're helping you get educated and get on with life. I don't think we're asking too much for us to go as a family to church on Sunday for an hour or two. That's one thing we could do. If you respect us, respect the family, we want to do this together. And as my friend Kevin Lehman often said, if they put their feet down and refuse to go, you go out to lunch and they have to figure out where to get their own lunch afterward. Sometimes that's a little reality, right? Okay, thank you, Joshua. Appreciate it. Let me get Amy here from Texas. Hi, Amy. How are you today? Are you there, Amy?
Yes, I'm here.
There you go. What's your thought on teenagers?
Well, my little ones are 4 and 7, so they've got kind of a ways to go. But I, you know, my parents weren't really raising me, and my grandparents raised me, and because my mom was a single parent, and so I'm trying to find my own way to parent my kids. And I'm married and, you know, we go to church and everything, but it's usually falls on me with parenting and discipline and all of that. So
your husband's not sharing in that as much as you'd like?
No.
Okay.
No, he's really not. And he kind of claims that since he works nights that it should fall on me because he's not around a lot. And I'm having a hard time with that because I feel like I'm a single parent when I'm married. And trying to instill those fundamentals by going to church and having the girls involved in a lot of church activities.
Is this impacting how you feel towards your husband?
I'm sorry?
Does that impact how you feel towards your husband?
Yeah, I don't like confrontation, but it just feels like I'm doing this all on my own and I shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, schedules are reality in life, but when we have kids, we're in it together. If you're there when they're made, you better be there when they're born. Come on now. And I say that to all parents. If you're an adoptive parent, you were there, be there. We got a responsibility. Once the title of parent ends up over your head, you got a title that only you have, no one else, a neighbor, somebody else doesn't have it, you have it. And so I hear you, Amy, in terms of not wanting to confront, but I think you need to, in a loving way with your husband, just sit down and say, honey, I can't do this alone. We need to get some help. We got to get on the same page. When you're here, you need to help. When I'm not available, you're the parent. We're in this together. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. I'll tell you what, hang on, Amy. Stephen, can you look and see if we have the Raising Responsible Adults study guide that we have here in the book that I wrote, and let's get that to Amy. Maybe it'll be helpful. You can sit down with your husband, talk through some of these things to be an encouragement. Okay, let's take a quick break. We love you, Amy. What we're praying for you. Thank you for your call. We'll be right back.
You realize if you're only 1 degree apart in your marriage, 2 different paths, just 1 degree apart after a mile, you'll already be 92 feet apart, having to yell to hear each other. And I think that's what happens in many of our marriages. We kind of drift, not in huge ways, but just 1 or 2 degrees. And over time, the wall between us grows. We miss each other. We lose touch with each other. You know, the Bible tells us, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction that they're headed? It also says that without a vision, the people will cast off restraint. So I want to encourage you to get into that reset of coming to agreement on the things that are really important in your marriage.
Yeah, that's a reset lesson this month from our master class on your marriage reset for this month of May. Members, you'll be watching for it, part of the Intentional Living community. It comes automatically, both video and audio, right to your email every month. If you're not a part of the team, come be part of Intentional Living. Your support is helping us reach people for Christ, teach the values and the truth of Scripture, biblically based approach to how do we actually live. The radio station will help you experience hope. Here at the Intentional Living Center, part of the station, we're going to actually help experience help. In other words, what do you actually do to bring hope alive in your marriage and your family. That's why we're here. Okay. All right. Let's get Adelina on the line here in New Mexico. Hi there. Go right ahead. What's your comment?
Thank you, Dr. Phil. My best way was to take my children to church. My husband was a pastor, and I raised them on the pews. And then at night before we go to bed, we would pray for them. And then also another thing I did was I took away the TV. I know in a world like today, but I did. I took the TV away from them. And I said, no TV is going to train my children. I'm going to train them myself. And I did. And when they would try to pull little things, I said, who taught you that? I said, did I teach you that? They said, no. I said, well, we have to take that back outside. It can't come in here. So I had rules, and I gave them chores to do. And my children, they turned out to be very wonderful children.
That's good.
They didn't give me any trouble.
Adelina, you are one of those moms that says, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to have a backbone. I'm going to do what I need to do lovingly because you got the title mom and you did it. How old are your kids now?
They're 50, 54, 55.
Good for you. Now, did you do this alone? Was dad in the house too?
Excellent too.
Was dad in the home or did you do this alone?
I did half of it alone, but most of it I did with the dad.
Yeah, good for you. Listen, Adelina, and I ask that because single moms and dads, you can do this. I know it's tough. Two are better than one. There's no question about that. I mean, let's just face it. But you're there. God's given you the position, the strength, the opportunity, and he'll give you the help and the encouragement you need. And we want to play a part of it here at the Intentional Living Center. Thank you, Adelina. Appreciate it. By the way, I'm not Dr. I think she said Dr. Phil. I'm not Dr. Phil. But all right. Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. We're going to wrap it up here in just a minute. This has been a lot of fun. I'll tell you what. We got another show coming up. We're going to record now. That'll air next Friday. Not this Friday, but next Friday. On the same topic, talking to parents and grandparents and others raising teens. You're welcome to join in. We'll get you into the discussion as you call 888-888-1717. I just want to say something very special to those of you who are praying for and financially supporting this ministry. We don't have any big corporation or we don't have advertising or things like that that underwrite the ministry. It's just you and me and a lot of other folks around the country that say, I want to invest into something that's making a difference, reaching people in a practical way today. Because if we're not intentional, we're going to lose this next generation. You know, we serve an intentional God made in his image, and to live any other way than to be intentional every day seems to me like a waste of time. And so we're here to help you think that way and experience that every day. Thank you for your support. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. We've got more right here from Intentional Living. See you then.